So I wanted to discuss this morning something I hope many of you have been thinking about, which is what types of resolutions, what types of changes we can make in our own life. As the curve of the virus is starting to dip, good signs ahead. Of course, it doesn't mean we're out of the clear. There's a lot of unknown. We don't know how long it's going to take for everything to be cleared. We don't know if we're immune. We don't know if it's going to come back next season. A lot of unknowns, but certainly the world, America, is in a better place, it seems, and therefore it's an opportunity for us to think ahead what we could take upon ourselves. Because when you're in an ace sara, like 4 weeks ago, like the week after Purim, we were all so nervous. We all thought Mashiach was coming. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but we were all willing to take upon so many different things. Now, a few weeks later, we're a little bit more relaxed, and maybe we're not as excited to take things upon ourselves. And in another month, when everything's better, we'll probably have less ambition to take things upon ourselves. So I want to speak about some ideas that we find in Chazal where we should take certain resolutions upon ourselves individually, communally, just some food for thought, what to think about over the next few days. So I want to start with a story. My second oldest child, Yocheved, so 3 years ago, she spent her summer in a camp called Marava. And Marava is located in Marshall, Indiana, right? It's a few states over to the west. And it was her first summer away, so as parents, we were a little bit nervous. And there's no visiting day because it's in Indiana. So my wife and I decided that, you know, we wanted to go away for a few days anyways. We always wanted to go to Chicago because we heard Chicago is beautiful in the summer. So we decided to surprise her, and we booked a flight to Chicago. We drove a few hours to Marshall, Indiana. We surprised her, and we spent the day with her. We went back after a long, a long trip, a plane ride, a drive back. We were exhausted, and we went to the hotel in downtown Chicago. And I never ever sleep with my phone on. Never, I never have the phone near me. It's always downstairs, not in my room. But obviously, in the hotel room, I didn't have any choice. So I was going to turn the phone off. But I said, you know what, we have a couple kids who are staying in people's houses, maybe leave it on just in case there's an emergency, chas v'shalom. So I left the phone on vibrate that evening, and after being exhausted, 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear my phone vibrating. So I jumped up, I looked at the number, it was a 631 area code. So those from the, five towns know that's Suffolk County. I don't know anyone in 631, but who knows, it's close enough to Nassau County, maybe it's worth answering the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I answered the phone, and it was the alarm company calling me, saying that the carbon monoxide alarm's going off in my house. And I said, no one's home now, so everything's fine. They said, we don't care. The fire department's going to come over, and if you can't open up the house, we're going to have the fire department knock down your door. So we were debating whether to call my in-laws, whether to call my neighbors, and we decided to call my neighbors. And so my wife called, and we asked them to open up the door, and the fire department came in, and they shut down the gas, and we had to come back and take care of this a few days later when we came home. And my wife and I, after this whole ordeal, we were so thankful that no one was in the house at the time. Like, the kids were out, we were out of the house, and we said at that moment we wanted to take upon ourselves something that we should do as a Hakar Satov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, that was a scary moment for us. Even though we weren't there, it could have been much worse. So I'll share with you a little bit later what we took upon ourselves to do, but this is the types of things we should be thinking about now that, yes, there are many people who have died, people that we know. Many people are suffering, have suffered, but those who are able to come out of this free and unscathed should think about what they should do to build that relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to show that Hakar Satov, that we're still here. So let's begin with some sources. And this is my first time doing this. I hope it works. I'm going to share screen on this. Let's see if this works out well. Okay. I think you guys can see it. I hope you guys can see it. So let's start with the first Mar Makom. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin that there are two different perspectives how Chazal view one who makes a nether. The Gemara says, Tanya, Tov mizeh umizeh, she'eino no der kol ikar. It's best that a person not make any nethers. Divrei Rebbe Meir. a person should stay far, far away from making nedarim, because when a person makes a nether, it's possible he may not fulfill the nether, and when a person doesn't fulfill nether, it's a very, very bad thing. So better to stay far away from nedar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tov Mizeh Umizeh, No Der Umishalom. It's best for a person to make a nether and to fulfill the nether. If you're a guy who is an individual who is responsible to make a nether and fulfill that nether, that's the best according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, no, stay far, far away. Don't get involved in nedar. So how do we paskin? What's our perspective? So the Shulchan Aruch, the very first sif, the Hilchas Nedarim, the Mechaber writes, Alti Rogil B'Nedarim. A person should not be accustomed to making the Nedarim, because Kol Anoder Af Apisha Mekaimo, a person who makes a nether, even though he might fulfill that nether, Nikra Rasha V'Nikra Chote. That person is called a Rasha, that person is called a Chote. So that's why we never make Nedarim. We always say, Bli Nether, Bli Nether, Bli Nether. I want to learn more, Bli Nether. I want to take Daf Yomi, Bli Nether. I want to dive an extra Tillim, Bli Nether. We don't want to make Nedarim because it's a person's called a Rasha, a person's called a Chote. So the problem is, Tosos asks a question there, the Gemara Chulin. He says, V'im Tomar, number 3. V'haksiv, doesn't it say in the Pasuk, Vaidar Yaakov Neder, that Yaakov himself, Yaakov Avinu, one of the Avos, took a Neder himself, and it says in Yonah, as Asher Nedarti Ashalma, whatever I Neder I made, I will fulfill. So we see that great tzaddikim took nedarim. So it sounds like it's something that would be encouraged, something that we should do. So I came across 4 different answers as to why Yaakov Avinu was allowed to make a nether. I'll go through all 4, but my focus is going to be in the last one, the 4th one. So the first explanation, we always have this explanation whenever something took place Kodem Matan Torah, we can always answer as the Shita Mekubetzes answers, number 4, Hahi Vayida Yaakov Nether, that which Yaakov took a nether, that was Kodem Matan Torah. Before Kabbalah Torah, there were no rules, there were no mitzvahs, and you could do whatever you want, and therefore Nedarim were allowed. That doesn't answer why Yonah was allowed to, but it answers why Yaakov Avinu was allowed to, because there's Kodem Matan Torah. But most other Rishonim assume that Yaakov Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula, he kept all the mitzvahs, and therefore there must be an explanation as to why he was able to make a nether. And can that serve any purpose for us making nedar? Ramban writes, number 5, here, really near, it appears to me, Shelo Aser Elo B'Kodshim is Be'ach Shemeyavo Lidei Takala. The restriction of making nedarim, says the Ramban, was only true of making Kodshim is Be'ach, about making a carbon, an animal, as a Kodshim is Be'ach, and to have to bring it to the base of Mikdash. Why was that a concern? Because if I makdish my sheep, my goat, my cow, I leave it in my house, I might forget to. I might delay bringing, and if I end up using this animal for Anah, I violate an Isser Me'ilah. So it's only with respect to Kodshim Mizbeach, is there a prohibition against making Nedarim. Aval says the Ramban Litztaka, or Lahafrish Isser Lasnim. To make a Nedar, I'm going to give Tzedakah, I'm going to separate my Isik Safim for the Anim, and Ein Tzarech Lomer, needless to say, for mitzvahs, that's something that we say, Nishbon v'nodin, a person should take a Shavuot. A person should make a nether, as the Mishnah Avo says, Nedarim siag l'prishus. Making Nedarim is a great fence, a great way to separate from Olam Hazeh. So we see the Ramban says, the only restriction is about Karbanos, but for mitzvahs, for everything else, one would be allowed to make a nether. The Rashba says differently. Rashba, and I'll explain, you can look inside if you want, but I'll explain outside. The Rashba says, the case of Yaakov Avinu, there's a difference of a nether that was based on a chet she'avar, an avera that you had accomplished, that you did, and you're doing kapara for this, versus a nether that you're giving out of hakar satov, out of an expression of hoda. What's the difference? So Rashba doesn't explain, but I want to suggest the following. We know there are 2 different perspectives on how tshuva works. This is just a side point, but it's an important message. Some people dwell in the past. Some people dwell on the Avera. And some people do tshuva by focusing on the future, focusing on what they can accomplish. Perhaps the Rashba's lesson here is to make a nether on what you did wrong, on what you've done in the past, that's going to be a bad thing. That's something we stay far away from. But to make a nether and a nedava on a kar tov of moving forward, on an appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take the next step, that's something that's commendable. And Yaakov Avinu, says the Rashba, he took a neder on the moving forward. Shenodun al tzara kederach she'osa Yaakov Avinu, he writes. Shenemar vayida Yaakov neder lefi she'osa neder, eino neder gomor. And the nidav of hodo is an expression of thanks. Thanks and praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu moving forward, that's an acceptable neder. So we have three answers so far. Either Yaakov Avinu was kodem matan Torah and therefore not subject to rules. Secondly, maybe he was only subject to karbonos, kachim is beach, because you might end up using it, but other mitzvahs, neder, dharma are allowed. And the Rashba says it's only a neder about nevera it's a problem, but a neder moving forward is something that's acceptable. So let's focus now on the fourth and final answer that I came across, which is the shita of Tosos himself. If you look inside, Tosos writes number 7. The question again is, Vim Tomar, Vaksiv, Vaida Yaakov Nether, didn't Yaakov make a Nether, so Nadar must be good. And Yonah, as Hashir Nadarti, Asha'alm, I'll pay off my Nether, so Nadar must be good. So how come the Gemara says we discourage making Nadar? So it says Tosos, V'yeshlomar, D'bishas Tzara Shari. In a moment of Tzara, a moment of pain, a moment of challenges, such as now, it's permitted to make a nether. Kedamrina b'bereishis Rabbah, he brings this source from the Medrash. Vayida Yaakov nether leimor. What does leimor mean? Leimor is always ledoros. It was a lesson to generations. Sheyihu nodrim b'eis tzara. That Klal Yisrael should in fact make nedarim whenever a person experiences an eis tzara. Is now an eis tzara? Is now appropriate time to make nedarim? What type of nedarim should we take? The Tosa says that b'eis tzara, a person should take a neder just as Yaakov Avinu did. And the Ritva takes this one step further to bring this to life. The Ritva writes, number 8. V'tirtu, he quotes from the Medrash Rabbah as well, my neder lemor, azhara lidoros, it was a command or a warning to generations, sheyhu nodin b'eis tzara. V'azeh samchu lindor nidavos lanim. That's why we have a practice B'yom HaKippurim, that we make nedarim, we make nedavos, we dedicate money to give, whether it's to the shul or whether it's to the needy. We give in Yom Kippur. Why? Because Yom Kippur lefi shehu ke'es tzara. Because Yom Kippur, when we're standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason wide open, it's an es tzara lemalos chesronos la'anim, to fill that which the anim need, that which we need. And therefore, whenever there's an eis tzara, one should make a nether, one should make a nedava. So how does that work? Why are nedarim appropriate, b'eis tzara? Why is dedicating money to an ani, to a shul, to an institution, why is that acceptable, b'eis tzara, like Yom HaKippur? How does the mechanics work? So take a look at number 9, the Chuas Beis Yitzchak. He quotes from the Chuas Maharim Mintz, others say this as well. The last line in number 9, the bold, he writes, Aval mikol makom, havi chishev lasos mitzvah v'nenes. Let's say a person has a mind to perform neder. He has a mind to give tzedakah, and something happens, he loses his money, he loses business, and can't pay the tzedakah. Does he lose out on his mitzvah? He had a mind. Says the Chuas Beis Yitzchak, v'lo asa, he doesn't do the mitzvah, yesh lo zechus be'eis tzara. The idea is, and we'll see this a little bit later on, in the Ber Maim Chaim, the idea is as follows. That when a person has a machshava tova to do a mitzvah, it's as if he performed the mitzvah at that moment. So be'eis tzara, when a person is going through a tough time in life, whether it's coronavirus related, whether it's some other struggle, if you have a machshava tova to perform a mitzvah, to perform tzedakah, it's ki'ilu you did it already. Ki'ilu you did it be'eis tzara, and therefore it's going to give you added zechuyos, it's going to give you added merits, and therefore protect the person from an eis tzara. That's the mechanism. So how do we pass in halach l'maisa? The Shulchan Aruch clearly said he was against, he was very much against making nedarim. Even if you fulfill the nether, he was against making nedarim because you're a rasha, you're a chote for doing so. Is it ever permitted? Is it permitted be'eis tzara? And the Shulchan Aruch writes, in number 10 here, this is the fifth halacha in the Hilchas Nedarim, be'eis tzara mutter lindor. When a person experiences an eis tzara, whether that eis tzara is Yom HaKippurim, or whether it's current, or whether it's some other experience, it's mutter to make a neder, and the Vilna Gaon quotes the Medrash Rabbah, as quoted by Tosfos, from the story of Yaakov Avinu. So the Aruch HaShulchan, their comments, that there are two ways to make a neder and to fulfill a neder. He says, near the chol neder, number 11, the chol neder be'eis sarah, any neder that happens during eis sarah, yesh lo shnei drachim. There are two paths a person could take. Ha'echad lindor u'leshalim miyad. One way is to make a neder and fulfill it right away, which is, I'm making a neder, I'm going to say a kapitel tehillim for so-and-so, and then do it on the spot, you fulfilled your neder. I have a neder, I want to give $100 to tzedakah, I'm making a neder, and then pay it right away. That's one approach. And fulfill it even though a person is going through an eis tzara. Or the other approach, says Aruch HaShulchan, is, O lindor sheyase davar mitzvah kishayotim min atzara. Or maybe to make the nether now, but you'll only follow through. You'll only fulfill the nether after you've been saved from the Eitz Tzara. And he brings the riot from Hallel. Kidichsiv b'Hallel, it says in Hallel, Tzara v'yagon em, so you find yourself in a makum tzara. Kos Yeshua's Esa, then you lift up the kos of Yeshua, you're saved. And then it says, Nidarai l'Hashem Hashem, I'm going to now pay back my nether. So the two approaches, either make a nether and fulfill it immediately, or to make a nether and fulfill it only when you come out. And it's very much encouraged by the Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan. That being said, other poskim are very hesitant to recommend making nedar. Because, of course, we could certainly slip up. We could certainly make mistakes. And therefore, it's highly encouraged to say bli nedar, even when you want to make a nedar, and even if you want to do it right away. I cannot tell you to make a nedar be'eis sarah. Rav Shechter could tell you to make a neder be'eis sarah. I didn't ask him, but the pashut is that we are not on a level where we should be making nedarim, even b'nei sarah, but to take upon yourself something, b'li neder is certainly something that's highly encouraged. So let me give you a couple of examples. And what really inspired this discussion this morning was a ne'ila drash I heard from Rabbi Storch several years ago. Before I was in Eish Kodesh, so I was teaching in the DRS base medrash, and I davened the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur there. And the Nila, the drash before Nila, was always given by Rabbi Storch, and probably still is. And that year, he just had recovered, or was recovering, from a terrible car accident he had gotten into with some of his children. They were out west, I think, in California somewhere, and they're driving along a narrow road near a cliff, I believe, and there was a head-on collision with another car. The option, if I recall the details, Rabbi Storch, if he's listening, or if he's going to listen to afterwards, he could certainly correct me. But I think the options were either off the cliff or head on to the car in front of him, and he chose to stay on the road and head on collision. And he was very, very injured. His leg, he couldn't walk regularly for a long time. And some of his kids got injured. I don't know all the details. And he was taken to a hospital in Denver, I believe. And he attributed his safety and his kid's safety to the fact they were listening to a shiur at the time. They were listening to a shiur from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. And so from the hospital room, I believe, Rabbi Storch called Rabbi Reisman and said he wanted to thank him firstly for the shiur and for help protecting him. The person who's in Osik in the Torah is protected. And he asked him for an Eitzah. What does one do? How do one respond to experience like this? And Rabbi Reisman said he had some occurrence happen to him where he was injured, whatever the details of his story was. And he had broken a bone maybe. And he had said, people think of, I'm so thankful I want to take upon myself a huge thing. I want to learn, Kol Torah Kula in 1 year. And the guy barely knows how to read Gemara here. You have to take baby steps. You have to be able to accomplish things you can accomplish. And therefore, Rabbi Reisman, who is an incredible Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Reisman said, when I, came out from this broken bone, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I say Tachanun all the time. And in Tachanun, the words are very hard. And the words speak about how a person's bones should be strong. I'm going to have more kavana when I'm saying tachana. And it, to me and you, sounds like that's a strange, nether. Well, that's a strange resolution. That's what you're going to do, just say tachana better? And not something bigger of finishing, Maseches Makos in one night? You're not going to give $10,000 to tzedakah? Tachana, that's it? And Rabbi Reisman was explaining, because if a person's, his goals, his aspirations are unrealistic, they're unattainable, then it's worth it. It's a joke. You have to be able to set goals that you can accomplish. So saying tachanun for us is something a person could do. And Rabbi Storch at the time was recommending that b'eis tzara, the moment of Ne'ilah, where we have to take upon ourselves something new. Don't think huge, because if it's too big, you're not going to fulfill it. Think of something very, very small, something that you could accomplish. So I remember also when I was in Dieres, Yisrael Kamenetsky gave it a different shmooze in a different context, and he was talking about something he once took upon himself. And we have to understand this might not be for all of us, might be very easy for us, but Rabbi Kamenetsky is the Rashiv of the Nahel in Dieres, and he has a lot of coordinating to do during davening, making the, you know, having the students stay quiet, having to coordinate different events during the day and the schedule. So he had admitted publicly, I believe, I hope it was public, I believe it was in a shir he gave publicly, that he had a hard time not speaking during Kaddish because there's always coordinating to do. And one year he took upon himself that he's not going to speak during Kaddish. And now for some of us it might be very, very easy. Others might be very, very hard. But that's a simple, clear goal that can be accomplished. So this was in my mind, back to the story in Chicago, this drasha from Rabbi Storch. And I said, so my wife and I were talking that night at 3 o'clock in the morning after the whole event was over, you know, what can we do now? What is our Hakar Satov that we could take upon ourselves as an expression of gratitude, as some type of bli nether to do better? And we decided that since, I think my wife's suggestion this was, that since we were protected while we were sleeping, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that no one's going to be home when this alarm goes off. So we said we're going to be more makbid on saying Shema and Hamapil and all the different psukim at night before we go to sleep. Because there's a certain shmir that took place at night. So everything a person should do should always be in mida k'negi mida. So I'm just sharing with you some suggestions people should think of what they could do better. Whether it's something small in davening, whether it's something small in learning, whether it's something in tzedakah, whether it's midos, derech eretz, whether it's, you know, calling your grandparents and calling your parents, whatever it is, think of something that's going to speak to you and your family, something that's attainable, and something that really would mean a lot to you. Now that's all on an individual level. But there's also a communal level that we have to speak about. Communal could be, you know, our shul. Communal could be the five towns. It could be America. It could be all the entire world. Now, obviously, the grander you get, the harder it is to accomplish such a goal. But let's start with a Gemara in Shabbos, such a concept of a person making a nether or some type of fix after an Eis Tzara. So it's a very well-known Gemara. And those who learn Meseches, who learn Daf Yomi, will be familiar with the Gemara. Just a couple weeks ago, we learned the Gemara. And the Gemara is talking about the famous story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, how they had to run away. And they hid in a cave. And they were hiding in the cave, and then the years went by, the Romans were after them, and the Caesar died, and the Xerah was battle. And they came out, and they started, shooting fire wherever they went, and they were sent back in for another 12 months. And then they were released. And when they were released, the Gemara says, I'm going to get back to the share screen for a second. Hopefully this is working out well. You'll tell me afterwards if you guys saw all this. If you look inside now, the Gemara, number 12. The Gemara says, when Rabbi Shimon left the cave, Amar, Hoyo v'yisrach shenisa. Since we experienced the nais that we were saved in the cave, we had food, we had clothing, we had water, and we weren't killed, Izel askin milsa. We have to go be metzakin, make a tikkun something. Why? Based on what? Why make a tikkun? Where does that come from? And the Gemara says, Dichsiv ayave Yaakov shalim, that Yaakov came back shalim after his encounters with Lavan and with Esav and all the different challenges. So then he came out shalim. V'amarav, what does that mean he came out shalim? Shalim begufo, shalim b'mamono, shalim b'tarasa. He was complete in his body. Physically he was protected. Financially he was protected. And in his Torah he was protected. All three of those have been preserved. And it says after he came out shalim, v'yichen es p'nei ha'ir, and he looked to the p'nei ha'ir. What does that mean, p'nei ha'ir? Rashi says there he went to be vayicha, means to encamp, to establish something. He created something. He made a tikkun. What was the tikkun? So before getting to the tikkun, Rabbi Shimon said, I also came out shalom b'gufo, shalom b'mamono, and shalom b'tarasa. We came out with our Torah preserved, our religion preserved, finances for some preserved, others not as much, and shalom b'gufo, and also, depending, some yes, some not, unfortunately. But Yaakov came out shalom b'gufo, shalom b'mamono, and shalom b'tarasa. So what did he do? Vayichanes p'nei ha'ir, The Gemara says, Amar Rav, matbeya tikan lahem. Machlok is what that means exactly, but Pashto Pshat is he made a coin. He made a currency. Something to help the klal. Something to help the tzibur. Shmuel Amar, shivakim tikan lahem. He established markets for them. He established places for people to buy and sell. He helped them financially somehow. Yochanan Amar, merchatzos tikan lahem. He fixed bathhouses. He fixed something that was going to help the community. So these are three different approaches. L'chora, Elu, Elu, all three were relevant. And therefore, there's some communal thing a person has to do after coming out of an Eis Tzara, after experiencing an Eis. One could certainly challenge it. Maybe what we're going through is not an Eis. But certainly after something like an experience like this, there should be some communal tikkun. And so Rabbi Shimon took this as a message. So he said, Amar Ika Milsa Dabai Latkune. Is there anything that needs to be fixed here? Look around the community. We have to fix anything. I want to be in charge of this. Give me something to do. Amrulay, they said to him, yes. Ika Duchta Diuspe Safik Tumah. There's some places that we don't know if there's Tumah or not Tumah, and therefore we don't know if Kohanim could walk there or not. So Rabbi Shimon took upon himself, the Gemara goes on to explain further, that he took upon himself to fix the areas where there's a Safik Tumah. Now, I am on no level, communally, no leadership role for me to institute anything. I can make suggestions. To get these things, unfortunately, done are very, very challenging. A few that have been discussed have been, you know, and some of these can be insulting to people. You know, one person sent to me that they're in a big mission, and they have Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, who has signed off on this, and Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, about toning down weddings, chasanas. And that's very easy for me to say, because I didn't make a chasana during this time period. You speak to someone else who made a chasana with 10 people, they're very disappointed. They wanted to celebrate with their friends and family, and grandparents couldn't even be there. It's a very hard thing to say, and you have to be very careful with the sensitivity. But these are types of things that are being suggested. So for example, the wedding, so they have this website already, and there's a video. Happens to be funny, the video, if you didn't see it yet, is Rabbi Storch's wedding. Rabbi Shmaryahu, his son, got married a couple weeks ago. So the video is pretty much his wedding in front of Darchei with like 10, 15 people that were there. And some people are using this as an opportunity to tone down weddings. That weddings don't have to have 500 people. They don't have to have 20, band members. Just simple. And it should be, the meal should just be for the family. And everyone should be invited just to dance. I'm just telling you what I've been told. Or Pesach programs, another thing to think about. Our Pesach program is really necessary, the money that's spent. I imagine most people who have stayed home this past Pesach, I hope, had a very special time with just their family. So these are things for people to think about. I don't know what the answer is going to be. Could it be no talking in shul? We haven't been in shul the past month. Maybe as a shul we should take upon ourselves even more not to talk in shul. Something. I'm just throwing out food for thought, but something must be done. So as individuals, we have to think about what we could do better, whether it's in midos, derech eretz, whether it's in tefillah, proper kavanah, whether it's in limud haTorah. Something has to be done individually, and something more communally as well. I'm not one to push on the community, but there has to be something done on a grander scale. So I want to finish off with a Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim to explain a little bit about the machshava, about what's going on when a person does in fact make a neder, when a person is makabel upon him or herself something to do, how that works. How does that protect a person from an Eis Tzara? So I'm going to go back on the share screen. If you look together, number 13. So Be'er Ma'ayim Chaim, we'll read just the underlines together. He says, Ulahavin inyan haneder be'Eis Tzara. To understand how a nether works, be'Eis Tzara. Nira, kinei be'Eis Tzara, when there's a Tzara going on, ala adam on a person or even on a tzibor. As tzarech ha'adam lifached me'od me'od, a person must be terribly scared. Mimidas dino shekadosh baruch hu. And I think many of us have felt that, if not still feeling it. Ki halo ha'satan mekatrek b'shas ha'sakana. The satan is dancing around. The satan is present. We're not going outside. The satan's busy walking the streets now. And jumping to the next underline, v'amnam hinei amruzal, the chachamim teach us. Im yesh din lamata, ain din lamala. There's a klal, however it works. If there's din down below, there's no din above. What does that mean? Al kain. Kishinoder adam az. When a person makes a nether, az mekabel al atmo mine sigufim. He takes upon himself certain afflictions. Kamo tainius, he wants to fast. O minias achilas b'miksas b'li tainius. where he wants to eat less, or stop going to restaurants, or stop having these delicacies, something to minimize his eating. Ola harbas b'Torah t'vila, or to learn more, or to daven more. All these things a person takes upon himself, af b'chalishas gufo, even though he might be incredibly weak. He named mekabel alav din ba'atzmo, he's saying, I'm going to be mekabel to say tachnun better. I'm going to be mekabel to not speak during Kaddish, not speak during davening. He accepts this b'simcha. B'simcha rabba, he accepts this. The yardin, and through that, come down the gevuros v'adinim milamala. All the different punishments from above come down el ha'shor sh'adam, because he's makabal everything. He says, give me the dinim. I'm going to fast. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to push myself. He takes upon all those dinim at that moment. Miyad kish makabalav b'chinas ha'sigufim harehem ke'ilu asom. Like we saw earlier. When a person's makabal to do these things, it's as if he already accomplished them. And then, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bochen libos, he understands what's in man's mind and heart. Umiyad, immediately. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that that person is willing and able to fulfill that which he takes upon himself, it's considered as if he already accomplished it. It's as if he already took upon all the punishments upon his head by simply being makabel to daven and to learn. What's left above, he took the dinim away from above. All that's left above is rachamim, gemurim, mercy, chaim, vishalom, life and peace, v'chasadim tovim. And through that Kabbalah, as a ishahu yivashaya mikol tzaros, the person will be protected from all types of tzaros, v'nimtokim kol adinim me'alav, it's going to sweeten all the dinim that were designated for him, kim yesh din lamata, ein din lamala. If you take upon yourself certain Kabbalahs, that means there's no din lamala anymore, it's all going to be rachamim from above. One last paragraph, we'll stop here with a few more lines. In the next paragraph here, he says, v'od nir tam l'neder beis sara. Another reason why a person should take a nether during Eis Sara, ki nei shorash nether hu bechinas ha'ava ha'gemura ha'shleima la'Hashem. When you make a nether, why are you making a nether? Why am I committing myself to daven more, to learn more, to have a better midos? It's only because I love Hashem, because I have a close relationship. I want to build that relationship. I'm committed and loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it comes from a place of ava, place of love. The fact that I'm willing to take upon myself fast days, eating less at restaurants, learning more, that I'm willing to be mekabel that mesiras nefesh, it's b'shvil ha'avodei lav yisbarach. It's the connection because I want to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'ushorer shagruos. He gets into a little deeper idea here. I'll just read a little bit more. Ki l'shem zeh misorin hagruos ubon li'olam li'os habrios. Bonli de Ava Hanifla. He explains because without getting involved in the Kabbalah here, those who want to learn more, they can read the rest of this. But behind every din is really Ava. A place of punishment comes from a place of Ava, from love. And that comes from a place of Ava Hanifla, an incredible, a wondrous amount of love, Hazos. She Yafkir Kol Gufo. I'm willing to be Mafkir, my own body. To, whether it's fast, eat less, learn and daven more, my whole body is Mafkir to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? B'shvil ha'ava, because I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. U'la'ava oso b'chol nafsho, to love Hashem with my whole nefesh, u'b'chol ma'odo, with all my money, afilu hu notel az nafshcha, v'modcha zem amonu shel adam. The willingness, the love that you show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what brings a person to the nether to protect the person be'eis tzara. So again, this is food for thought. I'm not recommending anyone actually take a nether. I'm suggesting a person say things b'li nether. And I'm suggesting taking small steps. Learn a little bit more. Daven a little bit better. Do a little bit more chesed, a little bit more derech eretz and midos to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, and to your friends. And hopefully through these nedarim bli nether, if you will, through these new Kabbalahs, we'll be able to come out of this Eis Tzara unscathed, and that will hopefully lead to a Geula and Yeshua, and to build that Ava amongst each other, and the ultimate Ava with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Good luck.